Welcome to the Doghouse here on ntnradio.com. My mic is falling apart right
good
in front of my
morning,
face.
Good morning, Doghouse.
Good morning, Manassas. No, I'm sorry. Good morning, Virginia.
Right. Something like that.
Because didn't he do like good morning, Vietnam or something? Yeah, so.
Good morning, America.
America. And the rest of the world, too.
Yeah.
Where it's probably
actually. Because we got a globe. Somewhere in the globe right now, it is a morning.
Yeah, it definitely is a morning here, but we are actually going to not be mean to foreigners today.
I do not believe you.
I don't either. Well, no, because we have somebody else to pick on.
Oh, that's right.
So we don't have to be mean to foreigners. We have our own people here in the United States of America
to be mean to,
pick on, right? To be mean to be jerks to.
This, you know, for all the, you know, crap we give everybody, this is definitely a global hating motorcycle show.
We hate everybody and everything.
Because we have, you know, even I, you know, one of the biggest Harley fans there is, have given Harley down the road.
We've thrown, there's we nobody throw, we haven't thrown under
yeah,
the bus.
Yeah, we throw an American racing fans under the bus.
We throw American, Ken throws American racers under the bus like it's the only way a bus will get traction.
And then back up.
Yeah.
So, for, you know, if you think we pick on any particular nationality, well, that's just too bad because we pick on them all.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Phil really enjoys it. Or I don't really do it that much. I'm the conscience of the crew here.
You're actually the like more politically correct of the group here. Ken and I
conscious.
Just,
I call it conscious.
Ken and I just really don't care. And I on certain things, Ken is on the farther I don't care less than I am. And then on a lot of things, like I think Ken's like on the racers. Like if you're in the public
I
eye.
I still have hope we might get advertisers some morning.
Yeah.
Waking up and seeing the email.
Right. like our 6 weeks of K&N filters.
No, who?
Oh, I'm sorry. B&S filters. Anyways.
But that was better than no weeks.
You know, it was. And we'd love to have them
and
back.
They do make good products.
No, they do.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously you're not hearing Ken again today.
You will hear him next week, whether he's here or not.
Right, we're going to try and force him to call in next week, at least during the afternoon where we can harass him.
And if
something.
He doesn't, then you may hear him answer questions that he would prefer not to answer.
You know, he's been going through all that training and stuff because he actually is trying to get a job as a transvestite nightclub singer. And,
I just don't ever see it coming, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Unless he's willing to shave the beard.
He makes a mean Bette Midler.
Unless he's willing to shave the beard.
That's why he picked Bette Midler, so he didn't have to shave the beard.
Oh.
If he was darker, I would have told him to go for Whoopi Goldberg.
Bette Midler's not listening to this. I bet you she just hit this pause button and is now burning her computer.
I hope so. You know what? I don't know if they listen to the show in Canada, because shouldn't she be there?
Was she one of the ones that said if our current president was elected, she'd move?
I think so.
So many of them did,
so many
and
of
they
them
never
did,
do.
And none of them did. Let's go.
Where's the courage of your convictions?
Yeah, they lack conviction, right? That's our.
Well,
that's our,
some of them I'd like to see convicted.
Yeah, I think some are going to be with some of the shady stuff going on. But that's a different topic for what we have going on
today.
Yeah,
how about we spin down that hole?
Well, it's easy because it's just a natural hole to go down to. But I do want to talk something a little.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. It's not natural for a man to go down that hole for Whoopi. But, you know.
Oh, God.
Oh, hey. But I actually, the reason I'm like women bashing is because I want to do some serious women bashing. But before I get into that, I have some epic hate.
Epic.
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 Like,
we need
I'm
epic
probably going to get arrested next week.
Well, it wouldn't be your first time.
No, it wouldn't be. It will be my first time for this reason, right? So my folks are moving, right? They bought a house down here in Virginia. I'm moving them out of New York. I'm happy about this. Things are going good.
Yeah, Virginia hasn't decided if they're happy or not.
Well, I haven't really told everybody in Virginia yet, right? I mean, we got to be surprised. I actually told somebody yesterday, and he's like, you know, that town is nicknamed Hell Town. And there's some crime there and this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, they're moving down from New York. He's like, oh, so they'll be okay. I'm like, what? So I mugged the guy and took his wallet, right? But my father decided instead of getting a moving company, right, that I should move them. It was my idea to move them down to Virginia. Okay, not opposed. Don't care. Doesn't bother me.
Well, here's if that would happen to me, I'd have to go this route.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mom, I'm sorry, but you're going to sell all your stuff. We'll buy you new when you get there.
I tried that too. But he wants, you know, his tools, his stuff, you know. So, okay. So he says to me, he says, listen, next week, they're coming down this weekend, weather providing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We might be getting snow here, which will be a first, right?
Been very mild.
If we get more than 2 inches, it'll be a catastrophe in the Mid-Atlantic because we haven't seen anywhere near that amount.
No.
So
not this year.
The first snowstorm is always the worst.
Yep.
And our first snowstorm is looking like it might be in the middle of March. thank God for global warming, right?
Yep.
80 degrees in February.
Well, you couldn't say that last year.
I am not going to. Well, you only had one snow, but it was like 1,000 inches.
Well, we had a couple. Anyway, never mind.
So,
your mom and dad are moving.
So they're moving. So we decided on a U-Haul truck. Well, they decided on a U-Haul truck. I wanted trailers because that's just easier. Then I could ride in my heated leather seats. My own truck with my stereo, right? You know,
right.
It's an easy 6.5 hours in good condition. So, traffic, anything like that, you're talking 7-8 hour
trip. U-Haul doesn't move that fast.
And U-Haul doesn't move that fast, right? So, they reserved a U-Haul truck for one day next week. So U-Haul says we'll email you the night before to tell you where to pick it up.
I'm paying. You're going to go where you paid to pick it up.
You are going to have the truck where I want because they also charge you by the miles. And one of the spots they said it could be at, it's like 40 miles, right? And I think we get like 400 miles for the range, the time that we're renting the truck. And it's like $397 from their house there to their new house here.
Right? So 40 miles is going to put you over.
40 miles is going to put me over. Plus, they said, and your drop-off can be as far away as Dulles, which is another 40 miles from where they're moving.
I would have told them thanks, but no thanks.
So I told them, I said, well, I'm not paying any overage, and I want a discount because that's ridiculous. Avis doesn't sit there and say, we ain't got your car here. You got to go to Avis in wherever. Avis says, we'll give you a break on a different car.
Avis bus is going to pick you up and drive you for 2 hours to your car.
We have this dumb little guy that gets paid minimum wage, which I actually was at Avis in college, right? And they send that idiot to get the car to bring it back to where they want it, right? It was called a wing nut. That's the position job. You got sent to go get the car wherever it was to make sure the car that person rented was there. If it wasn't something you had in the lot, an equivalent you had in the lot. You all should be able to do that. I shouldn't be. It's not my problem. You can't get the truck to the yard.
It is your problem.
Apparently, it is. So the lady's like, "No, no. If you go over the miles," I said, "Sweetheart, you're telling me that I could be going." And I did call her sweetheart.
You have been living here for a while. You can do that.
Dang old sweetheart. Well,
are authorized,
right? I said, you got to have the truck where I want to pick it up. I ain't got time for that, right? I pulled the whole web thing, right? Ain't nobody got time for that, whatever that was. I was like, catch me outside, right? I dropped the phone, right? I was like, oh. Then I realized that doesn't hang it up. Like, back in the day, right? I think more than the whole U-Haul experience, right? I think the thing that pissed me off most about the conversation is I can't slam the phone down on him anymore.
Well, you can. But
no, you can't. It doesn't hang up, right? Remember the joy
you can slam it down as hard as you want. You'd just be buying yourself a new phone.
But the joy you used to get of just hanging that thing up because you know it made that big clank in the person's ear and they knew you were angry, right? You can't do it. You made me mad. You press the button, right? And they're like, hello, hello. I mean, when you hung the phone up back in the 80s and 90s, man, that was a far tie. 70s. I don't know if they had phones before the 70s.
Right, but party lines.
But yeah, that's your swingers. But that's but you had this big, right? And people knew it. And it just pissed me off that we can't do that no more. I think that's a bad technology change. I actually was thinking, if you're an app developer, A, F you. B, thanks for not helping. But C, somebody should make the phone slam app. So it sounds like
you press a button and you get
the button and it hangs up, but it gives you that feel.
Well, no, it plays a recording on the other end and then hangs up.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
Yep.
Right? Because that would be an app I would download. And I would probably use it 6-7 times a week. 8 times a week. Probably.
Sometimes. Even if you didn't need to.
Yeah. I'd be like calling up Warren. Hey, Warren, how you doing? Clack. Because I enjoyed doing that. And now I can't do that.
Nah. Not happy. All right. So, that. Is that it?
That's it for my hate against U-Haul.
That's a pretty good one. That's stupid for making you drive up to 40 miles. And if you drive, it's more than 40 miles from Dulles Front Royal to Dulles.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm like, I'm not paying. No way, Jose. Jose B, Jose C, any of that, right? No way. send your hate mail to Ken@ntnradio.com.
Yes. He will reply immediately.
You know, somebody did send some mail to Ken about like the new format, and he was like, I'm going to pass that off on you because I can't say anything about the F word. And I was like, yeah, wrong guy, but I got this. So we did lose one listener this week.
That's too bad. We need them all.
It happens. Yep, don't feel that way. So my other thing, right? Do we want to get into? Yeah, let's get into that. Or do you have anything you need to rave about? Rant about?
No, actually, I've had a pretty calm week.
So tomorrow, I got this text alert on my phone about tomorrow.
Alert!
Will Robinson. Today is so that people know when they're listening to this in the future. Today is 3/7/17.
A Tuesday.
March 7th. Tuesday, day like any other day.
In Manassas, Virginia.
Left the small town for the apple and decay.
At 5:27 Eastern Standard Time.
Let's not tell
them
too much because then these stalkers can figure out where we are and show up.
If we had stalkers, we'd already know about it.
Yeah, okay, maybe that's true. Thanks for making me feel unimportant. But tomorrow I got this text alert about how the roads are going to be way safer. Right.
The roads are going to be safer tomorrow.
The roads are going to be safer tomorrow.
Right, I have this app I get from my home county.
Yeah, me too.
And the county tells me where there's traffic accidents.
Yeah,
and
mine said tomorrow's looking like clean sailing, light traffic, and no accidents.
I have never, ever got one of those alerts on my phone.
Really?
Not from my app.
I've never seen one. I mean, I never really paid attention, but I've never seen one.
So tomorrow's going to be a good day to ride your motorcycle.
It'd be a great day to ride your motorcycle, drive your car.
It's
a low headache day, right? It's a low headache day, and it's going to be a nice day. It's going to be a great day. But then I started Googling, right? Because I thought, it's not President's Day.
No.
Right? It's not Martin Luther King Day.
I have no idea what you're driving at here.
It's National Women Don't Go to Work Day protesting.
So tomorrow is...
Women are staying home from... Like the illegal
immigration,
aliens
the mega immigration strikes. This is a women's strike?
So tomorrow's a women's strike, right? Makes the roads way safer. Right? Way less crappy drivers.
Oh, Phil.
Hey, bring the hate. I told you we were going to pick on somebody other than foreigners today.
Yeah, and, well, you're actually picking on every 50% of the population.
That's okay. None of them are in the studio.
So what are they supposed to be striking about?
They don't know. They're just a bunch of women.
Oh, God.
Well,
you're killing me here.
I know. But if you listen, right, if you listen to them talk, because then this intrigued me, right? I was like, wow, I'm going to be able to drive around. I can go to stores and not be bothered by them, right? Because they're all going to stay home, which I know they're not. It's like I'm going to leave the country and go to Canada, right? And then you know, like people were saying.
Supposed to stay home. According to what you're saying, and I did not look it up, nor will I, because it's not
because you have a wife and you don't want to be killed when you get home.
No, because I'm in an equal partnership with my wife. You know, she
tells you what to do and you do it?
No. Well, no. We're an equal partnership.
You guys have a good relationship.
And, and that's what it's supposed to be.
I kind of wish Ken
was
here.
If my wife went on strike, I'd be upset because I've never went on strike.
So I wish Ken was here because, you know.
No, and this is a conversation I wish Ken wasn't here. Because
he would have some good things to say.
There would be people protesting here next Tuesday.
I am all for that. But that's why I didn't want you to give out all that information before, right? Because I knew what was going to come out of my mouth.
Why didn't put the address?
Yeah, which is... No.
If you knew, God, I wish I knew Ken's address.
Oh, I should Google that during the break. Anyways... But, like, it's like they're protesting, you know, well, we want equal pay. Well, since, like, the 70s, it's been illegal to pay women for a different amount than a man for the same job.
Yeah, and I know that many of them have sued and won.
Right, But and in general, it just doesn't happen anymore. It really doesn't. If they're doing the same job, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, if they have a different,
and
if they
the same both work in the same,
right?
But it's all that good. But,
right. But if they work in the same office and they don't have the same job, where one's a secretary or one's a data entry person and the other person is running an office, you don't expect the same money. You shouldn't. Well, the women do, obviously. But you shouldn't, right? There's different levels in jobs, right? Here at
with
the doghouse,
experience and everything.
Warren gets paid, I don't. Right? Not sure why, just the way it is. So it's
hey,
like,
Phil, nothing's too good for you, and that's what you're going to get.
I hear that. And then you talk to other ones, and they're like, well, we're not, well, men have more. There was a lady I saw on a television interview this morning saying that men have more rights than women, and that's what she was protesting. The way I look at it, we actually have less, right? I can't have a National Organization of Men. They have now National Organization of Women. If a woman says you lumped her up, they're going to arrest you, and they really ain't going to care. I can't say some woman lumped me up. They ain't going to arrest her. Right? They're going to be like, eh, whatever, buddy. You're lying. Right?
And men can go to the beach and take their tops off.
And most shouldn't. And that's the same with women. And in most states, women can do that.
No, they can't.
Yeah.
Not in most states. Maybe a couple.
I bet now it's in most states. That was a big movement like 10 years ago. But no one
I don't
cares.
Think, I don't, I'm all for women
I'm all
topless.
For women going topless. I mean, that you will never hear me say, but you're well, no, that's not true. I actually have said that. But Whoopi Goldberg shouldn't be walking around without a top. I mean, that's just, but it's like they're sitting there. And
when did you see Whoopi topless?
Exactly my point. So there's a whole school district here that's actually going to close tomorrow. In the county, I guess it's a county school district.
I will have to guess it's either Arlington or Fairfax.
Arlington,
so those are the
Virginia.
Ones closest to D.C.
Arlington, Virginia is closing down their school system.
So I imagine it's
because
also
they had
D.C.
Over,
doing the same thing?
They've had, well, I don't know. As of this morning, they already had 300 women call in sick for tomorrow. And that's more people than they have on their substitute list.
Hmm.
You know, for substitute teachers. So here's the thing. I'm self-employed. I actually used to work for people. Right? Didn't last long. You can tell I'm just a jerk, right? I'm an a-hole. Don't work well with others. But even
don't think anyone would have figured that out.
No, not by now. But when I worked for other people, when you were sick and you called in a sick day, you had to A, be sick. You couldn't call in a sick day 2 days ahead of time. And most places started requiring notes from doctors.
I wonder if that's something that the teachers' unions got rid of.
You know, well, and that's a good knock against teachers' unions right there, right? Here's the other thing.
If it's for the kids, why are you not there
on
a good day?
All the time I hear teachers say, I don't make no money doing this, which teachers make way more money than I do. In New York, teachers make good money. I don't know what they make here. But they make damn good money in New York, right? And a lot of places I know make good money teaching. But they say, I'm doing it for the kids. Well, then get your ass to school, because what about all those kids in Arlington that need the free meals, right, because their family's underprivileged and they ain't got the money, and they're not. And tomorrow they're not going to eat because you're going shopping into lunch with your friends, right? They're saying, we're going to stay home.
No, they're going to go to the doctors and get their
we're
going to
stay home so people can see how valuable we are, but they're really not. What you're actually going to do is prove the exact opposite point, that if you were not at home taking care of your kids, the economy would be better in that area. Because you'd go out to lunch, you'd go out shopping more, right? Instead of being at work and taking your lunch, right? You are actually proving the exact opposite point.
Dude.
Am I wrong?
Nah, don't think so, but that's going to cause...
You know, the hate mail, my name is actually Ken, so it's Ken at ntnradio.com.
Right. Send the mail.
Right? If you don't want to hear me on the radio anymore, that would be the only person that can make that happen. And even I'm not sure about that. But people have tried in the past, be like, you got to throw that jerk off the network. And Ken's like, yeah, he owns half. right? That's a little hard. But whatever. You can still humor yourself and call Ken all kinds of hateful things like a misogynist.
Well, he is.
He is, right? I mean.
And you are. And I am. No, none of us really are. We talked a good line, but we all...
No, I'm actually dead serious on this one, right?
Oh, no.
There's no better way to prove how useless you are than to not show up at work in the world. You know what's going to happen tomorrow night at around 6 o'clock? 6:30? The sun's going to set, right?
Yeah, it's nothing's going to change.
And the next day, nothing's going to change.
No.
All you do, and when you sit there and tell me, I care about the kids when I ain't going to my teaching job, right? And you know, if it's a legitimate thing, I have a family funeral. I'm not feeling good.
Two different things.
Right? I have a doctor's appointment that's important. Two different things.
Yeah, two different things.
Like, I'm going to do this to make a point. Yeah, the point that you made is you're not as valuable to me as you think you are. Number two is what, like, if all the women stayed home, and I'm going to say words and people are going to be hateful. You think people were upset and get ready to send hate mail now?
But if they stayed home
and kept themselves in their bedroom and didn't come out and bother people and didn't make anybody any lunch and didn't go out shopping and didn't go out to lunch with their friends and jogging and all that stuff where they actually said, we're going to disappear. Right, like what they are saying they want to do. Right, we want to show them how valuable you are. Stay in your room. You leave your room, you're no longer invaluable to me. Right, I'm not going to notice that because you're around doing things. It's like Sunday. Right, a woman's still valuable on Sunday. Somebody got to cook Sunday dinner.
Oh, God.
But you know, I mean, who's going to clean the shower if? But. By going out and, you know, because this lady's like, yeah, I'm going to go out with my friends and do this and do that. It's like, then this is just a day off. That's not a protest. You're a hypocrite.
As a day off with pay.
Well, that's the first thing I would do is I would, if I was the school board, I would fight paying them, every one of them. Make them burn a personal day.
Well, they have to be burning sick leave. If they're calling out sick, they got to be burning sick leave.
But I wouldn't do that. I would tell them you were not sick. You have no doctor's note. And because you didn't put it in properly, you don't get a personal day. Make them lose a day of pay.
Yeah, it's crap. I don't agree with this. Yeah, right, no, I don't agree with this
is,
at all.
What this is communist goon tactics. Right? If you are a woman listening to this show, which you probably have turned off by now, if you are a little,
I'll never listen again.
And I, at this point, I really don't care. And you think that this is protesting for equal rights, you're a fool. You need to stop drinking the Kool-Aid. You need to turn off ABC and CNN, all these stupid things that you're watching. And you need to smarten up, right? And now I'm sounding like I'm a man preaching at a woman. But
you're mansplaining.
I'm just telling you that you have been used as a tool. And it's not a tool for women's rights. It's a tool for communism. This is the kind of crap that they did in the Russian Revolution, in the Chinese Revolution, in the Cuban Revolution.
Splitting and creating classes.
And if you think socialism works, look at Venezuela.
Yeah.
They're eating their dogs.
The Garden of South America.
They're eating their own animals, domestic animals, because they're sitting on the biggest gold reserves and the biggest oil reserves, and the socialist government don't share it with the people because that's actually how socialism works. And yeah. Fascism.
Yeah.
Right? That's how that works.
Yeah. Everyone's the same except for the politicians.
Yeah.
They're the ones that end up with 3 or 4 or 5, 10 houses.
10 Mercedes,
doesn't Bernie Sanders have like
three
houses, including one on the beach somewhere?
Three that I can't afford to buy.
They're all more expensive than anything we got down here.
Right. They are three that I can't afford to buy. But I'm just, if you're staying home tomorrow, you're a tool. I'm calling you a tool. That's not because I hate women. I'm calling
you're
you a tool.
You're a tool of the socialist movement.
I'm calling you a tool because that's actually what you are. You're a commie tool. You're not even smart enough to know you're a commie tool. And if you're a husband and you're letting your wife stay home tomorrow, you tell her, woman, that you want to keep yourself in my house, you damn sure have dinner on table.
I'm getting a call from a hater right now.
Is that your wife calling?
No, it's not, but I'm sure it is somebody's hating us.
Could be. It's probably Ken.
All right. We'll be right back. Digging that.
We just trash women and you're like, yeah, baby. Yeah. Oh.
We didn't. You did.
No, Ken did. I wasn't.
Ken did.
Here
That's right.
That.
Ken was right? here. He just sounded a lot like you through the magic of radio.
That's the magic. That's the scary thing about radio, right? There's now technology that if you have a certain amount of words, I think it's something like 2 minutes of speech or somebody, you can use the equipment that we use to edit. The same company has a thing to recreate my voice and say whatever, or your voice. Right? So that was actually Ken.
That's scary.
Yeah, that's scary.
You need to do that and make it all Ken.
Yeah, we got to redo that, right? It was Ken. He was just pretending to be me.
Hey, you know that Flat Track, we're all getting excited about it this year. For
2 weeks, man.
For the first time in a long time, people are actually getting excited about Flat Track.
Well, I'm always excited
about
Flat
You always are, but the general audience really hasn't been.
With
the
audience, right?
Yeah, no. Well, I had to say it, but it is true, and you know it.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, you know, I think Flat Track, you know, it's funny. I was actually talking to a friend of mine who's in the four-wheel race media, and we were talking
What's
about,
that?
You know, it covers late models and
What's
dirt
that?
Cars.
What's that?
Yeah, it's another.
If you got more than two wheels, why are we talking about it?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that he was impressed at how much Flat Track is doing right now. Like it's making it so big. It's making such a big splash.
It's been transcending media. It has been on the last 2 years on a steady rise, and in the last 4 or 5 months it has really skyrocketed, and they haven't had the first race yet.
Right. I mean, there is like the first race is a grudge match already.
Already,
Indian versus Harley, three on three.
I really don't expect Harley to win because if the bikes are 100% even, the talent difference is just too much. Harley's going to win occasionally, but I think Indian's going to win most of them based on talent alone. Even if the Harley bike is a little bit better, I still don't think the talent level is going to reach the same level as the Indian. And this is one thing that caught me off guard, and I meant to bring it up last time we talked about it, and I'm going off track here just a little bit. Indians calling themselves the Wrecking Crew. I thought the Wrecking Crew was Harley Davidson.
You only think that because of that
Harley
and the Hendersons movie.
No, because I've read it before, too.
I think they both kind of might have had that. I'm not sure. That also kind of got to me, and if they stole the name, that was genius, too. Right, Sammy Halbert's one of the Harley riders, right?
Yeah. He's an up-and-comer, but...
Well, no, he's been around a little while, but I want to say that he has, over the last couple years, had the best record at Daytona.
Well, that's good news for Harley.
Right? So I think there are going to be certain tracks and certain places where certain guys win all the time, right? Brian Smith will be going for his like 11th in a row at Peoria, I think, or something like that. So there's definitely tracks that suit guys. And I think Halbert, I could be wrong on this. I will have to go and do the research, right? And if I remember, I'll try and do that for next week's show. But I think Sammy Halbert is like the guy with the best finishes over the last 4 or 5 years at Daytona. Which is good for Harley,
yes.
Right? And it's good for racing, right? If there's six guys battling at the end of that race,
and they're all in Harley and Indians,
that's a win on epic proportions for Fletcher.
And I think this is why NBC is going to be showing these things live.
Yeah, right?
I think it's going to be tremendous.
This should be a slugfest, right? It should be a slugfest. You know, there are other guys that aren't on factory rides that will, you know,
they're still good.
They're still good, and hopefully we'll get to talk about. Hopefully these two teams won't be so dominant that it turns into a 2-on-2. You know, a 3-on-3
race. I hope you're right. I hope there is some mix in there.
For the first race at Daytona, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. Don't care. If there's somebody in there on something that's other than those guys, I don't care.
Yeah. And if here's the good news. If you want to buy your own, see, the Harley-Davidson XG750R, which has replaced the XR, they haven't priced it, and it's not available off the showroom floor yet. You can't go buy one. These are all factory bikes.
Right.
But Indian will sell you one of their Scout-based flat trackers if you got $50,000 to pay for it. That's a bit of coin.
That's, you know, it's a bit of coin for what it is, right? It's a stripped-down 750 bike.
Yep. Stripped-down Scout with probably a little bit more, you know, horsepower and tuned specially for it.
$50,000 worth of more horsepower, I don't know. Right?
Because a Scout, you know, a Scout right off the floor is, what, going for about 12?
Yeah, I saw that, and the only thing that came to my mind was whether or not there was going to be race support with that.
Well, for the end? Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying now. So if, as a privateer, if I bought one, am I going to get Indian support?
Right.
The couple articles I read about it didn't indicate that was the case.
I know, but it seems like for that much more money,
you should be getting something.
You should be getting something. Yeah, or maybe you're getting like a hottie to ride around with you.
Because $50,000 for a Scout, even highly tuned for racing, it seems like it'd be a lot.
Yeah, which says to me maybe there's something more that's just not in the article.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what it is. That's pure speculation.
Yeah, it is.
Pure speculation. Not like my thoughts on the women's day off, right? That's the damn truth. This is pure speculation.
And then, of course, I said, you know, a moment ago that the XG750 for Harley is not available yet to consumers, but it's based on the Street 750, which in the showroom floor goes for about, you know, 7.5, 8, depending on what you get with it. So I just can't imagine that the Street 750 tuned up would go for $50,000, even with the Harley premium on it. Because the XR 750s, which you could buy for a long time, they weren't.
That's why I'm thinking there's got to be more to that package.
Yeah, I would hope so for that money.
I feel like there's more to that package. I could be completely wrong, right? But I feel like maybe there should be more to that package. You know, I'll be honest with you, for the first time in a while,
I should get a pickup to haul it around in if I could pay $50,000 for the bike.
Well, no, you should have somebody that follows you around with like a Easy Up to make sure you don't get wet when it rains for 50 grand. For the first time in a long time, I'm now wishing that I had the time and the scheduling and had the foresight to go down to Bike Week this year.
Yeah, that's a good one. But
just for that Thursday night race, right? Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, so you got Daytona on March 16th. 2 weeks later, or a week later, you got the Atlanta Short Track. Then Charlotte, then Arizona, then Sacramento Mile, then Springfield Mile.
What's the date on Charlotte?
Charlotte is April 1st. Well, I'm not sure if they'll actually be there or not, because that is our April Fool's Day.
Well, they would be there.
And then they got one up in Pennsylvania, which I think is the closest one to us here in Virginia. And I don't.
Yeah, they're going to be at Lincoln? No. Is it Lincoln?
I'm looking for it now. Let's see.
You know, Charlotte wouldn't be a bad overnight trip to go watch.
Mechanicsburg, the Williams Grove Speedway.
Oh, Williams Grove. Williams Grove is a fast track.
And Mechanicsburg's not really that far from here.
No, that's within 2 hours. We're going. Right,
September the 9th. Mark it on your calendars. We should do a broadcast from there.
No, we shouldn't. Unless somebody,
talk to the racers.
Unless somebody, we can go and record interviews and stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't mean
if
it
somebody wants
be live
to interview the equipment, right? Rent us the equipment. Maybe we'll do that. But I don't even want to do it. Williams Grove's fast. I've been there for 410 sprints. World of Outlaws hits there, right? I mean that the Williams Grove is fast.
Fast.
That should be a good race. I'm sad that Hagerstown's out.
Yes. Sad. And right. You said you was going to look into why they dropped it. Did you ever find out the reason?
Yeah, you know, Hagerstown has had some bad luck with the weather the last couple of years. And last year, I went up to it, and it was a complete rainout. And
well, that's the case. Most of these things are outdoor. All these things are outdoors.
They didn't get a rescheduled night, right? And they got no considerations from what? Now, it's like the VIR AMA Pro Road Racing thing, mm-hmm. right? I'm just saying that this is what I heard from somebody.
Who heard from somebody.
Who used to be associated with the track.
Okay,
he's not anymore. But what he was told from somebody was that they didn't get any discount for this year, and they lost all that money last year. Like, they didn't get their money back last year for paying for the series to mm-hmm. come in, and it wasn't reflected that it was a complete rain out and they lost money in the new contract.
The track or?
The track.
Okay.
Right. So that's kind of, you know, when the AMA Pro Flood Track comes in, you pay for them to be at your track. You make your money off ticket sales, beer, hot dogs, beer, hot dogs, beer, more beer.
T-shirts.
And beer. Right?
And beer.
So that's what I heard. If I am wrong and American Pro Flat Track wants to come on and say their side of the case, they're more than welcome to. They just have to email. We'll send them to me, phil@ntnradio.com.
And we'll be more willing to talk to you about it.
Or if they're mad and want to call us a bunch of scumbags, send your email, ken@ntnradio.com. And it's like, I feel like C-SPAN. We're liberal line, conservative line, independent line. Warren's our independent line, right?
The Entertainment, Sports, and Politics Network.
Yeah. So, but I'm excited to see Flat Track coming up, right? I mean, the bikes, the teams, the slugfest,
and you know, and then Harley just signed on to be the primary sponsor for Flat Track for several years. I don't remember.
Yeah,
how
and
many
I think
years it was.
I think they kind of got a little bullied into that, right?
Well,
because they missed the ball when they were late to the game. Right?
I was going to say, well, you know,
when you're late to the game,
they could have done something a little earlier, but
right, and they were late to the game, and so what they're
looking
at is,
I got to hand it to India, man. They scalped Harley.
But I didn't know Indian was a French brand. Oh, hey, that way when all the Brad Baker's up there on the top of the podium, they can say, you know, on the Indian 750, Brad Baker wins the Harley Davidson, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
That's exactly why they do it, because they realize their best chance to be on the podium is sponsoring the whole thing.
Yeah, because I hate to say it, the Indian snuck under the tent, under the TP, and stole all the talent, or the best talent.
The racism just keeps coming.
Well, and another thing about, you know, we said NBC was going to be on there and, you know, talking, you know, racing and showing it on TV live and everything. Well, they announced who their voice talent is going to be, or, you know, whatever you call that.
Okay.
Your talking heads.
I missed this part, so how bad is it?
Scotty Dubler, Deubler, who I don't know. And it says he's been around this stuff for a long time, but, of course, I've not followed. You know, he's going to return as voice of the American Flat Track. So he must have been the Flat Track guy for a while. But then again, I've not really paid any attention to Flat Track until, you know, the last 8 months. And the American Daredevil, Bubba Blackwell, who I've met a couple of times.
I've never really heard Bubba Blackwell on, like, television. I guess he's going to be your commentator.
Yeah, well, I think he's caller and the caller guy. And the other guy is going to be the play-by-play guy. But Bubba is very, you know, both times I've seen him, he's been very articulate. You know, he's riding the bike and talking and, you know, messing around with the crowd, interacting real well. His shows have always been fun to watch and attend.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he'll be a good, but I don't know about the other guy, but I think Bubba will probably be, an interesting ad. You're definitely going to get a take that you probably wouldn't have got anywhere else with him.
Yeah. I will. I don't know how that's going to work. Oh, Scotty Dubler, yeah, he was the X Game announcer.
Yeah, because he's the voice of Flat Track.
Yeah, and I think he has like 85 wins in Flat Track, right? I think he's a big winner, right? He's up there on the wins list, right? He's got a hefty number there.
That's good.
I could be wrong on that, but I think he's over 80, right? And the number 83, 85, something like that comes to mind.
Years old?
No. He's actually a young guy, I believe. Right? I'm not 100% sure. No. Hold on. I just pulled up an interview with him where it talks about his victories. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, while you're doing that, you know, I got this quote from Bubba Blackwell. He said, being involved with American Flat Track is a dream come true, and I also get to work with one of my best friends, Scotty.
So Scotty too hot. He's got to change his name. You know what? I think I was thinking Scott Parker with he has 94 wins. Mm-hmm. So that's maybe not the same guy. Now I have to
do the research.
Do the research because I'm not really sure who.
Well, as a resident flat track expert, I assumed you would have all this.
Yeah, you know, sometimes unimportant people aren't important people, right? I'm not sure. I like the guys that they use that do the stand announcing, right? I think those guys do a great job when flat track comes to town, but it could be a whole contract.
Well, it could be like, like Supercross, the guys in the doing it for TV are the same ones you hear at the stadium. At least that's what it sounds like on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not always the case, right?
Sheehan and drawing a blank on the second guy.
Yeah, Putz. I call him Putz.
Yeah, you never know what color shirt Ralph's going to have when he shows up.
Yeah, I know. I can see that you're really close about on Twitter. Warren tweets back and forth with Ralph Sheehan all the time about what color shirt he's wearing and stuff. One day he's just going to tweet back to you, "Shut up, you homo." You colorblind homo, right? I'm waiting for that day.
Well, they're all, the first time I did it, he was wearing his bright purple shirt, and it was just so out there, I had to comment on it, and then it's just been going on since then.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go a little bit more on the Indian Harley rivalry.
Oh, you got some.
Last week, Polaris, right? Polaris, who owns Indian, there was an article in Biz Journals, on bizjournals.com, saying Polaris planning an electric Indian motorcycle taking on Harley's Livewire, which to me is kind of I'm not going to say that this is a surprise because Victory has done a lot electric motorcycles.
It's not like there's going to be they're going to just toss all the Victory
right the Impulse, right?
Yes, and the TT
bike, right? But here was the surprise out of that topic, right? Says Polaris planning an electric motorcycle taking on Harley's Livewire. So 2 years ago, when we had that guy on from Harley's Livewire project, it was never meant to be a production bike.
No, I don't think it's going to be.
This makes it sound, when you read this article, it makes it sound like it's in the works to be a production bike. Harley-Davidson introduced the Livewire as a prototype available for test rides all over the world,
right?
2014-2015 when Warren went to drive one. Yeah. The Livewire was priced out to be $50,000, right? Which is now a flat track bike, right? Nothing.
good point.
But industry experts have settled on $15,000 in the range of 150 miles, right? But the way this article reads, and it doesn't say that it's a production bike that you can buy, but the way this article reads looks like maybe that's going to be a production bike that you can buy.
Well, Harley has said they're coming out with a production electric bike. It's not going to be the Livewire or look like the Livewire.
I'm telling you what I'm reading here.
Well, they're not right.
They're talking Livewire.
Yeah. It's not going to be a Livewire.
Do you think they had to pay Motley Crue for that?
They should.
Motley Crue, we know you're listening, right? Yeah. Because Motley Crue's kick ass, right?
Otherwise, they wouldn't listen if they weren't.
They weren't, right? You need to sue Harley Davidson because Harley got big bucks.
Or if for some reason Harley keeps the name Livewire, which I just cannot see them doing, the Electric Glide is, they need to get rid of the current Electric Glide.
You know, and
the
person who invented
that
dance should be suing Harley too, right? The Electric Glide?
No, the Electric Glide was out before the song was, yeah. So Harley should sue the performer. All right, we need to take a quick break, folks.
We're going to take a long break.
We'll take a long break, folks, and I'm going to come back. As we're going out, I'm going to give you a little quick thing here. If you live in the Washington, D.C. area, there's going to be a pop-up Aerostitch event in Springfield, March 23rd through 26th. So Aerostitch is going to be here in D.C. peddling their wares. So look it up online. It's all over the place if you know the right places to look. Aerostitch.
Am I expecting a paycheck from Aerostitch?
No, it's just that people like your stuff, and I thought it was a good way to get the word out. All 10 people who live here.
Oh, you should send them a copy of the show and tell them that's $100. Right? Or I will go back and edit that right the hell out.
Well, I'll send them.
Why don't we send them to Burger King?
I'm sure when I tweet them the show, then they'll hear it, then they'll do something for us.
All right, we got to get out of here. Back on the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com.
Whether you care or not.
Well, if you're still here, right? I did my women bash and I bashed U-Haul. And we probably have more people who are fans of U-Haul than women on this show.
At this point, I'd have to say you're right.
I'd say we're probably right on that. So if you're still sticking around, A, you're a moron. B, we probably don't even appreciate it. But I read a lot. You know, I know people don't believe that.
No, they don't.
I don't watch a lot of television.
They don't believe that either.
It sounds like I do, right? I probably read more than... it's funny. I never was really like a big reader with like books and newspapers, but like my tablet, my laptop, my phone.
You're reading more now than you ever have before.
Yeah, like the internet is good for something other than porn and motorcycle racing.
No.
It's just pretty much the same thing.
No.
No? No? Yeah, you're right.
That's all it is.
You know, if it wasn't for porn, we wouldn't have 4K video. We wouldn't have any of that stuff, right? HD video is probably just purely from porn and stuff. But anyways, I read a lot. And one of the sites I do read from time to time is RevZilla. Right? And I always...
Good site.
I always find it hard to read motorcycle sites because of what we do here with the show.
Yeah.
I don't want my opinion to be based on what other people's opinions are because I really just don't care. But I do read sites, and sometimes articles catch my fancy. And they had an article last week, right? Let me check the date on that. It was only a couple days ago, I believe. Now, of course, I don't see the date on it. Sun's up. But the article is how hipster millennials and scramblers might save motorcycling in the United States. I don't know how I feel about that statement.
Well, there's really no, really have to, because they're after the the baby boomers are gone. That's going to be the biggest generation with the most people in it. So,
right.
Yeah, they're going to no matter what they do, whether they want to or not, because they've just got the numbers. Well, so what's the point of the article? Is that numerically this I can say yes.
Right. Okay, I'm going to read the first paragraph. I believe that today's millennial hipsters and the flood of scramblers and retros could be the salvation of motorcycling in America. How could the skinny jean-wearing, man-bun-wearing, and artisan whiskey-sipping youngsters save motorcycling? By taking the bike by the clip-ons and doing the same things previous generations have done. Here's what I have to say about that. I believe every generation does that.
Yeah, they do something with the motorcycle industry to make it so.
Right. Right.
Unfortunately, my generation is the Pro Street.
Yeah.
I hate Pro Street bikes, but with American Chopper and all those guys that come up with them.
Right. The bar choppers, the big wide tires, yep. the ride like crap. You don't want to ride them long distance bikes, right?
Or around sharp turns.
Or around sharp turns or in the rain and they look cool, but that's the generational thing. I would make my argument that every generation changes bikes.
Yeah.
To what they like.
After World War II, the bobber was the big thing.
Right. And I would say into the 60s, right? But you also had in that time the Honda, the adventure bikes.
Yeah. Well, not so much adventure bikes, but scramblers.
Scramblers, right? But you had adventure bikes. You had a bunch of, right? The motorcycle.
Then the late 60s to the mid 70s, it was the chopper.
Yeah.
Then the cafe racers.
Yeah.
Then the super sport bikes.
Yeah.
Then the pro streets.
Yeah. I don't really have,
right now, at this moment, I don't think there is a defining bike.
Well, I think this argument is making the argument that the next defining bike, because sometimes it has to be in the pipeline, is the scrambler, right? Everybody has a scrambler. Ducati, I mean, Ducati was the first, and we were all excited. I mean, even us sitting here in the studio, we're excited about the Ducati scrambler. I said, wow, I would actually buy one.
I would too.
Right? And now Triumph has a scrambler. Honda has a scrambler. You know, everybody has a scrambler, right? Everybody has something.
It's not real till Harley makes it.
Right. It's not real till, right, exactly. You know, Yamaha has equivalent bikes. All these guys are doing stuff now based on that concept.
Yeah. And don't get me started with the Yamaha one, because it is a direct ripoff of the Ducati.
Yeah. Well, obviously. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't feel like they're bringing young blood in, right? I mean, that happens into the motorcycle industry. Right now, the average guy on a bike is old. Right? He's old. The
well,
young
if you
people,
define you know, mid-40s old, yeah.
Yeah, that's old.
Okay.
Right? I'm mid-40s. I ache. I take aspirin to get out of bed.
Well, that's because of you.
Yeah, well, you know.
But that's a lifestyle.
That's a lifestyle. You're right. But, you know, but they're going to do it like they do their cars, right? Their cars are not like, you know, the old, you know, chop tops of yesterday. You know, they get a little hatchback car and they put some exhaust on it and they do
hot hatches.
Small little customizations and, you know, stuff like that, and do a little bit of change, but they're probably spending a lot of money over time, but nothing all at once. And that's kind of what's going to happen with the scramblers, right? The bike world always goes in revolutions. There's a guy, John Longo, he's a seat guy, who's made some phenomenal seats over the year. And every time you talk to him, and you say, John, what's going to happen with the bike industry? You know, he'd be like, well, you know, something else will happen. Right? I mean,
it always does.
It always does. It's happening. It's kind of sad that we're leaving the future of motorcycling in the hands of millennial hipsters.
Right? I'm sure
the millennials listening to this.
If the dog house was the one in the mid 60s, I'm sure the people that our ancestors would be saying, "What the hell are those Generation X people building?"
Right? Why the hell would you put a tire like that on a bike? And then, like, the big baggers with the big front wheel, right? Why would you do that? And, you know, why are you lowering the bike? Why do you need all that lights around the motor? I mean, we do. Everybody
well, the lights
does,
around the motors, that's just cool.
Yeah. Everybody does something retarded, right? I mean, every generation.
I haven't figured out what mine is then.
I've seen your bikes. but it's like I don't know, right? They're saying, well, it's the retro. I mean, they're cool-looking bikes. Yeah, they're retro. I think the young people kind of like that retro feel because they have none of their own culture.
Some of the biggest...
Nothing they have is cool?
Some of the biggest changes that you're seeing is in the beer industry. Pabst is on a big upswing.
Jesus.
Because... I'm wrong.
PBR.
Look at the numbers.
We had a show in the studio that lived and died by PBR. If there wasn't at least a 12-pack in the studio, they couldn't do the show. And I'm going... We used to punch people that would show up at a party, even when we were 16 with PBR, right? God, you couldn't talk somebody. You sent the guy in there and wasted your time and money buying PBR?
No. Yeah. Maybe it's where I grew up. That was the cheapest beer you could get. So if we went to any back road party or something, it was always PBR because that was the cheapest stuff you could get. Ugh. And we didn't know any better.
We did. And maybe that's the problem. We actually knew better.
Well, we also didn't have money. We weren't up there in the Hamptons.
Yeah, the Hamptons.
With our drinking beer with our pinky up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. You drank out of cans, not glasses, right? You
know? Yes.
All right. I get it. But, yeah, I'm just...
And then stepped on the pop top and split her foot open.
Here's where, you know, the Revzilla article makes some good arguments. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's too long, and I don't have that kind of patience. I would say give it a read, form your own opinion, because that's always what I like to say.
Well, put the link up on Facebook so the guys can look at it.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, send it to me, and I'll put it up.
But here's what I'm going to say is, are they going to save motorcycling? Because right now, I still think the small Jap sport bikes are outselling any of these scramblers and anything. If they can take and draw kids from going to sport bikes to scramblers, then I'm saying they're revolutionizing motorcycles.
Well, here, while we were talking, I did a quick Google I did a quick search. Uh-huh. Actually, it's Bing because that's what I got on my tablet.
Bing, bang, boom.
The top 10 millennials are buying.
Right.
And I'm not going to go through all 10 of them. The top two was, number two was the Harley-Davidson Sportster 72, which is a throwback to the 70s.
Right, right, right.
And the number one was, NEC Honda CB from the 1970s that they can make into a cafe racer. So yeah. 1970s era Honda CB. So 350, yeah. 450, 650, yeah. 750.
I can see that. I see a lot of that in shows and stuff like that. Anyways, so I just, it's an interesting thought. Maybe we'll give it some more time somewhere along the line when we have a little more time to process.
Revisit it
a little. Anyways, well, we should talk some Supercross before we run out of time. We only got like 10 minutes, so we're going to talk some Supercross before we run out of time. They were in Toronto, north of the border, the only Canadian stop.
And it seemed like everyone got their passports in order this year.
Everybody got their passports in order this year. Everything was much better this year. I don't know if I would say everything was much better this year. That might be the wrong way to say it.
The track wasn't better than last year.
No, the track was actually kind of crappy. Your boy Christian Craig did return.
Yeah, he got a terrible start in the final.
Yeah, terrible start in the final.
And that race and that track conditions, if you weren't Tony Dungy, starting anywhere in the mid-pack, you were doomed.
Ryan Dungy?
Ryan, that's
Tony Dungy's the football coach.
I did that again.
But anyways, I was talking 450s where Virginia native Zach Osborne won.
250s.
Right? I'm sorry, 250s, yep. Yes. Zach Osborne won. Adam Sheen Cirola, who I've been big on all season.
He finally podiumed.
And he started looking like that's the Adam Sheen Cirola I think we're going to see.
I think my biggest disappointment in the 250s was Alex Martin, who finished second the week before.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he's actually still trying to finish his laps.
Yeah,
right?
He finished 15th overall, but he was another one of those that got buried in at the start because that track, the neck funneled down so quick.
Yeah, it was a tricky start.
And then you had you turned to the left, and you had to go back to the right.
And how about Jordan Smith, who dumped the bike? I don't know, a half dozen times, it seemed.
He got run over once.
Or he got run over once. But also, he did that, where you go out and you have to come back in.
Yeah.
He just gassed it right into the middle of a corner. And I'm like, and they're talking, you have to find a safe spot to rejoin. And he's just like, boom. And I'm like,
I thought he was going to use the corner as a ramp to jump out
to jump into the stands and go home. Right. I mean, I was
they
like,
cut it before he turned to get on the track. They cut to another scene. So I don't know how he got on the track.
Yeah, I'm not sure he did. I think he literally just crossed over there and went out. I was a little worried about that. But yeah, Zach Osborne is looking really strong. You know, when we did our preseason picks, we kind of didn't give any love to Savacci or Osborne, even though we both know they've been doing good.
They've been doing well.
I was big on seeing Cirola's return because of what he did a few years ago. You were big on Christian Craig, and I'm not sure
why. Because he had a strong finish at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's true. But Zach Osborne is looking like he's
the guy to beat.
To be the man, you got to beat the man, and Zach Osborne is playing the part of the man this year.
Yeah, so he's got 70 points, and Joey Savacci, who's in second overall, has got 58.
Yeah, so he's definitely looking strong, and Sean Cirola's climbing, but I think he's too far points-wise back that he'll make a difference, right? It might be too late, unless he starts cranking out a lot of wins.
Yeah, he'd pretty much have to...
He has to win out the East.
And Osborne has to at least not podium, at least one race, I'd say.
Yeah, and then we had the... Did I screw this all up?
450s come after 250s.
Yes, I know. I was just talking about something else. We had the 450s, and we had a race where in the finals where Ryan Dungy just got a horrible start. He was last at one point. By the end of the first lap, he was at ninth.
Yeah, well, you had him. He was in ninth, and Muskin was in tenth.
Yeah.
After the first lap.
Yeah, and Musquin decided the best way to finish the race was to go back. And well, Dungy decided.
They said on this past, the Wednesday before the race, he had a temperature of 103, sick.
So he's hot-blooded. I get it, right?
Yeah, so he wasn't feeling too well.
Yeah, and he had a miserable showing. I think Justin Bush is still the disappointment of the year right now.
Yeah. Bam Bam, he has
Bam
moments.
Bam Bam's been boom-boomed.
He has moments where he looks spectacular, moments. And then...
He should find a way to only race in the final.
Yes.
I think he's just exhausted by the end.
Yeah. Well, him and Stewart both seem to, by the time the final's half over, they just seem to fade away.
Yeah, they need to get in shape. That's coming from Fat Guy.
Yeah, right? I was saying, coming from us.
Pack hold the kettle block nerve, Phil. But yeah, they need to get in shape. Tomac got a lead. He got by, Fernandez, right? Is that how you say it? Ferraris?
Ferraris, I think.
Yeah, however you say that guy's name. He got past him, and when he finally got past him, Fernandez was the other race, wasn't it?
That was the heat.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So anyways, he got out there, and when he got out there going, once he got the lead, he was gone.
Now he was up to 16 seconds ahead of number two at one point.
Yeah, he was gone. And then Dungy, who ended up the last race ninth, Fernandez was the guy in the 250s, I'm sorry.
Yes, he was.
Now he was the rookie in the 250s, I'm sorry. Yeah. I had in my notes, and I didn't have good notes.
Yeah, Dungy went from ninth to second.
To second, and when Tomac got past, I think it was Tickle, right, in the 450s. When Tomac got past Tickle, he was gone, right? You know, and he just took off. He was gone. He had, 4 hours on everybody, stopped for a coffee. Dungy raced back. It could have been a huge... huge opportunity for them, for Tomac to make points up, right?
Yeah. Well, he did. But
he made three, right? But Dungy's a machine, right? Yeah. At one point, Dungy was nine. That would have been over 10 points,
mm-hmm.
right? So Dungy still has that 24-point lead on him.
Tomac moved ahead of Musquin because Musquin had a pretty bad finish. Where did he finish?
He's still going around the track.
13. He ended up being in 13th.
He was back there.
Yeah. The way he was riding, I'm surprised he even made it that far.
Yeah. So if he keeps riding like he's riding, this might be a good race down at the end.
Yeah. They could go banking down to the final
banking
race.
Banking on Dungy not to pull a couple more wins and not to finish off the podium. Yeah. It's rough. I still think we're going to see Dungy pull another championship this year, which is...
The Tomac's machine looks so fast.
It does when he's out front by himself.
Well, you got a good point there. But
right?
He doesn't look fast
in traffic.
No.
So we'll see. I think Dungy's better in traffic. That is the music. That's the end. That's why I was trying to figure out if I screwed up or not earlier, if you were wondering. I don't really care if you were wondering or not. That's what I'm going to tell you. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We might have something more interesting to say.
If you have hate mail, send it to Ken at ntnradio.com. Yes.
Is Supercross going to Daytona this week?
Daytona, yes.
Daytona, and then the following week we have, I believe, World Superbike again, and we have Flat Track.
Yep.
And
then when's MotoGP start?
3 weeks.
Three weeks.
Last weekend in March.